Warning, what you are about to witness is an extreme display of masculinity. The following content is not intended to be viewed by women, children, or any males classified lower than beta status. This presentation is designed to be viewed in a cool, dry area where breakable objects are not present. If you wish to continue, you do so at your own risk. You have been adequately warned. Welcome to the program.
Gentlemen, welcome to the program. The program is a 72 and a half hour, 31.9 second program. The 31.9 seconds represents the current amount of time you maggots last in bed. How do we know? Because the Man Master has taken a survey of your performance, and frankly, it's pathetic. But the Man Master used to be just like you, a little boy. Are you a man?
Yes.
Are you a man?
Yes.
Are you a man?
Yes.
I am a man.
You are a man!
I am a man!
You are a man!
I am a man!
You are a man!
But then he did the program, and now he's willing to die! He doesn't even flinch! He went home and he started a business! And now that business makes 70K a year! Net! And guess what? He writes off all of his expenses. Why? Because he took this course, you f***ing weaklings!
Okay, well, since joining the program, I've gained some self-control a little bit, some self-confidence, some other self-improvement things like mastery and ownership, and, with great power comes great responsibility, and,
The program is not an experience. It's like a medical procedure. It's like a mammogram of your balls. Have you ever had your balls examined, son? Looks like you only got one testicle at most. Let me see them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those balls. They're gonna drop! They're gonna drop! The program, it's a variety of obstacles. Also called an obstacle course. You guys ready for obstacle number one? Rocks.
Well, there's been quite a few changes since the program. I came back, I quit my job, got rid of all my stuff. My wife did stop talking to me, but I did get into nicotine pouches. So there's that.
Man Master, give me the brick.
I quit the program about halfway through when they did the male-on-male intimacy bonding training.
Hit me in my penis!
Get his penis!
Hit me in my
Which, it's not for me.
Some of the guys did start to leave when some of the physical stuff started to happen. I didn't. And I kind of regret that.
It's cool if they want to do that, but that's not what I signed up for. Ended up taking an online course and picked up some welding training and make about six figures.
When you finish with this procedure, program, obstacle course, experience, you are going to go home. Women will throw themselves at you. You will start your own business. You will make at least what someone, $40,000 probably, to $100,000. You'll probably become a millionaire. But I'll tell you one thing that you'll have, self-respect, dignity, and less money. But you'll eventually make the money back. You have to invest in yourself. That's why this costs $7,000.
Bird, how are you gonna provide for your family, huh? How are you gonna provide? Oh, this is pathetic. Man Master, in.
Hit me. Hit me!
Hit the Man Master!
Hit me!
Hit the Man Master!
Hit me in my penis! Hit me in my penis!
Hit him in his penis!
Hit it! Oh!
Hit him in
his oh!
Oh! Oh!
Oh!
Hey, Craig, son!
Do it again!
Ahoy, everybody, and welcome to Normal World. I'm Dave Landau. Unfortunately, Garrett and Angela are both out today with milk fever. It has been spreading through this place, and hopefully they will be all right in no time, as well as lockjaw and rabies. It's a vicious combination. Joining us today on the show in... we guess we will introduce him first. We've called him Mangela before, but I want to go ahead and introduce Ken.
Hello. Sorry. Hi. I ruined it.
You did. Doing nothing.
But I am feeling super duper.
What?
You know, super duper.
Why?
I was thinking that, like, you have a hoy, so I'm trying to create my own
thing. Why would you have a thing?
I thought everybody that gets a thing.
A host has a thing.
I have a limited window of 3 days to get my thing in.
Yeah, I've had a nickel for every time I heard that. Also joining us on the show today, please welcome Derek Richards.
Good to see you. How are you, buddy?
Good to see you, and you are going to be with me this weekend.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and share it?
This weekend, April 5th, Friday, April 5th at the Fruenthal Center in Muskegon, Michigan, April 6th, Saturday, the Village Theater in Canton, Michigan, and then the following week, Saturday, April 13th at the Orpheum in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Oh, yeah. That's where we're going to be. So come out to those shows. And also joining us today, friend of the show, regular friend of mine, please welcome Yoshi.
Great to be back, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I don't know what that means. I'm just glad you're back.
Thanks for having me back. Yeah. I actually was performing in Bangkok and you have some fans.
In Bangkok?
Yeah, they were listening to the show. So I was kind of like, whoa, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What are he, hers names? Are they like...
They were watching the show and they had scalpers. They were sending tickets for the comedy club. They mentioned Yoshi and they said, wait, is that from the Normal World? And like...
Holy crap. We're a hit in Bangkok.
Nice.
Ah, too bad my parents are dead. Finally do something with my life. No, that's crazy though. How awesome of the...
I think they were Americans visiting Thailand. Oh. Yeah.
Well, now it's a bummer. So they were just sex tourists.
Like, you're a huge hit amongst the pervs.
Yeah. It's just two guys with a pocket full of Vicodin and a wet penis with tears on it.
Standing in line outside some sex shop. Hang on. Is that Yoshi from Normal World? I love Dave Landau. And yes. Bring me the 7-year-old.
Whoa. We went there. Okay. Wow. Can we start over again?
Oh, my. No, we know that's not why you should be a gentleman. You were in Bangkok, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to Bangkok. At least that's what I'm saying. What? Let's just get the show started. Right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's start off right now with this. We have some news. Saturday Night Live, the host, Rami Yusof, said in his monologue that he prays to God to free Palestine in an emotional opening of the show. Unfortunately, the rest of the show was less funny. Coming up next. Iowa basketball sensation Caitlin Clark was offered $5 million to play in Ice Cube's Big Three instead of in the WNBA. We actually have a photo of what that would look like.
Wow.
Oh, I worked on that movie.
Rumor has it Caitlin Clark will take that $5 million and subsequently buy the WNBA.
What? You didn't have to clean that couch, did you?
I've done stuff like that. Unfortunately.
Have you?
Lord. For real. I have.
The furniture fixer?
I have to mop the floor.
Oh, boy. That is a sticky situation.
Should have been to that hotel.
Oh, gosh. It was a nightmare. A nightmare that I dream of. Conjoined twin Abby Hensel of TLC's Abby and Brittany is now married to an Army veteran, although the honeymoon got rocky when Abby accused her new husband of banging her sister. What is interesting is they actually came to my show once in Minneapolis because they're fans.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Yeah. They did. Yeah, for real. So I know they got a sense of humor about them. And, well, one of them likes me, that's for sure. I don't know if the other one just went.
Was it a 4-drink minimum with two of them showing up?
Oh, man. I don't know, because I think it's, I don't know how the blood alcohol works, but they found a list online that supposedly she answered all these questions because so many people had things to say. Because I'm sure they've never been bullied or treated like crap in their life. So
no.
They immediately answered all these questions. Do we have that list?
Oh, we do.
Okay. I can't see it. Just give us three examples, your favorites.
Oh, sure. Hold on. Oh, here we go. Because everyone is asking, we're just going to tell you. Yes, I have sex with my husband. Yes, I go down on him. Yes, my sister Brittany is there. Yes, my sister and I orgasm as one. But when I sleep with my husband, she's usually reading a book or listening to a true crime podcast. So she just puts the pleasure out of her mind.
You know, also when I make love, I put on a true crime podcast. It's fact.
Why your wife puts the pleasure out of her mind?
Yes. Yeah, she just...
Actually, you just do that by crawling into bed.
Actually, I put on a CPAP mask and sleep in a basement.
So hot.
I don't even know why I use the mask. It's not like you can hear me. Anyway, Yoshi, have you ever worked on Siamese twin movies?
No, but I always wonder, have you seen the conjoined sisters where one is pretty and another one's ugly? So that the pretty one marries.
Weird. Yeah.
So, I mean, ugly face have to literally have used their tongue to flip the Bible, you know, pages like
yeah.
this.
Oh,
you know?
Boy. So, yeah, one got all of like the fetal alcohol syndrome and then the other one.
Yes.
The other one's, human.
So when the mom drank during the pregnancy, she was laying on one side?
Well, they
when she slept, so all the booze just settled to the bottom? Why am I looking like the bad guy now?
You're not.
How was Yoshi looking at me with this? Are you kidding me?
Seriously. It all mushed to one side. There's got to be an explanation.
Yes.
I'm a twin.
Yeah.
I didn't get the winning body. Anyway, what were you saying?
No, but what happened? How does that work? Could they get pregnant?
I don't know. I would imagine that they could get pregnant.
So who's the mom? Both of them?
I guess it would technically be the one who wanted it.
So neither. Oh, is that not for this show?
No, you're fine. Okay. It's my show. I don't care.
Okay.
People can't laugh at a joke. No. Yeah, I don't know. I assume you could get pregnant. I mean, I don't think there'd be anything to prevent that.
So the one gets married. So yeah. Now say the other one falls in love.
Yeah.
Does she get married?
Oh, yeah. Probably.
I.
That's going to be a California king.
Yes, it will be.
What do you think, like, a good Siamese movie would go for? Like, that's got to be a hot market.
That'll definitely make money.
Siamese twin adult film.
Definitely a hit in Bangkok. What do you think?
Huge.
Nick, while you were there, did you sell any?
No, they have so many freaky stuff over there. Even I was kind of stunned by, you know.
Which just says a lot.
Yeah.
No offense.
I was very impressed.
No, I mean that. Well, you were there. I want to talk about your trips real quick.
Yeah.
Not real quick. I want to do most of the show because you're a lot more... exciting than anybody here. No offense, Derek.
Rude.
You're just here tomorrow, and you're wearing a Wings jersey like you're going to be taking a fucking car out with Ferris Bueller.
Easy.
Anyway.
I like that jersey, too.
Yeah, I know you do. I'm from Detroit. So are you, Ken. Why don't we tell everybody where you live?
Don't.
Dox your parents.
No.
So... Okay, so I want to talk to you about how there were cuddle cafes.
That's in Japan.
Oh, that wasn't in Bangkok.
No. That's in Japan. I had to help one of my friends with some business in Asia. So I made a quick trip to Bangkok in Japan. And he had to take care of family.
You an assassin?
No. Just like paperwork, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, business stuff. I used to do bookkeeping and things like that.
Okay.
Anyway, he was no longer available. So last minute, I booked a bunch of shows in Bangkok and Japan, which is really weird. They do comedy show in English, but it's a different audience, you know. And
in Bangkok, they do the comedy
show? Yeah, there's a place called Comedy Joint. So they're all expats or tourists visiting. So, you know, there might be three from Sweden speak English, one from Nigeria speak English, another one from South Korea speak English. But it's a different level of English level. And a lot of them, they don't get the references, you know. So you really have to change your act. So dirty stuff, worthy work.
Is that why they do the things they do on stage usually?
Oh, the ping pong girls? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'd be tough to follow that.
Well, yes.
Is that, did you have to rework your closer?
For some reason, when I say ping pong girl, everybody knows exactly what we're talking about here. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. That? Yeah. For sure. Oh, no, I knew all about it. My dad was in Nam. He used to tell me these stories when I was a boy.
That's good conversation.
What? No, I'm just kidding. But
fireside chat with dad.
Ping pong girls are messed up. I mean, they are...
Mm-hmm. But that the red light district, I guess my understanding, some African-American soldier started the whole business down there. Well, not just red light district. The Americans during Vietnam War, they needed to take a break. And yeah. Bangkok was like a best destination for them. So cool. I didn't know that. Cowboy Soi, that's the street where all the red light district stuff in Bangkok. It was created by Americans.
Really?
Yeah. It
Americans,
wasn't by local.
Americans created that whole scene?
Yeah.
That actually makes a lot of sense. So it's,
that's why it's called Cowboy, because this American cowboy
right.
Started that.
Well, and there's a huge love of American culture.
100%. Absolutely.
And that's what was absolutely most popular at the time.
And no matter how many times we bomb people overseas and how much they get mad at us, they just cannot get over American pop culture and television show.
They just love it.
They just love it. There's no way they could be. They got shit shows over there. Right. Ping pong. That's it. You know.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, they have blurred porn.
Yeah,
they're like, let's watch Friends.
Wait a minute. What? Blurred porn?
Yeah, they blur their porn in Japan.
Yes.
Do they really?
Yeah.
This started when American occupation in Japan censorship, but that's they started want to censor everything. But free speech and things like that. But also, you started with censoring pornography. Because the government say, we know what's good for you. So yeah, vast majority of Japanese.
That's not common here at all.
Yeah.
No, it didn't just happen in Texas.
No.
That's correct. Pornhub is banned. Not banned, but...
Because of the laws they had pulled out, which is, I mean, whatever. I think it's free country.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, you're in several Pornhub.
Well, you just...
You're just dressed as a dancing bear. Well,
way to blow the cover.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot we're live. We're not live. What? No. That is an odd thing, because if that is the beginning of censorship, that is kind of a slippery slope, you know?
Right.
And that's what started over the... Scares me. Because do they have real strict laws over there?
Yeah, it's my understanding that when General MacArthur took over occupation Japan, whenever they had enemies, they have to figure out a way to censorship, you know. But you started with something basic like pornography, which is public good, you know. Then from there, it will gradually go into other stuff that they want to censor. And I think the biggest worry right after World War II was labor union allying with communists in Japan. And right away, America was afraid of what's going on in China and South Korea, you know.
In Scotland now, they're actually arresting comedians.
Oh, I'm sure it's same thing in Canada, too.
Yeah, Canada as well. So, I mean, just going into that and being able to talk against the government, that's a pretty terrifying thing.
We were talking before the show that the comedians are really the last defense, really, the things that we said about. It's palatable for audience. We could make complicated ideas easy for them. They could laugh about it. But government don't like that. They don't like comedians.
No, it's because you take something that's illogical and you find logic in it through humor. I mean, when you think about it, especially when you're punching up at government, that's pretty much what you're doing is you're saying this is completely irrational.
Yeah.
Here's why. It's just connecting those dots, and that's the worst thing for them. Because that's just like, hey, here's the problem.
Well, yeah, the last thing they want you to do is to peel back the layer of the onion and expose what's underneath it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's troubling in every way, and that's why, yeah, I think if you start with something where people can go, that is evil.
I didn't hear about the thing in Scotland. I knew that there was some censorship in Canada, because Pantelis was talking about that.
It started recently. I should have pulled the article. Ken, can you look up arrests in Scotland, please?
Okay.
And he can kind of read it to us.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But they punish command events by saying we're protecting society. No, that's not what you're doing. People who want to censor have never been on the right side of history. Let's be honest here.
No, and the more you see the way that communism has sort of dripped into our culture, or not always dripped, always been there,
yeah.
The way it's really been turned up these last few years, it's really terrifying. And once you kind of look at it, like there's a book called The Anti-Communist Manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
And reading it, it really opens your eyes. Michael Malice's White Pill is one.
Michael's great.
Oh, he's
absolutely great.
He's a genius. And he's another one that he's talking stuff that goes back to the beginning of Hollywood.
Who's getting arrested in Scotland?
We'll talk about it on tomorrow's show.
Oh, okay. Right.
It's a real thing. Like either they were, or there's a chance the comedians will be based on something that they say.
Wow.
And I don't have the dates right, but I think 56 or 57, around that time, maybe even earlier, when Stalin passed away.
R.I.P.
I've never heard that one before. Rest in peace, Iron Joe.
I haven't heard that. Strung together.
When he died, many of the leaders of communist parties throughout the world showed up in Russia to show tribute. And it's called as a secret speech. Well, who was the leader after Stalin? Khrushchev.
Oh, yeah.
Khrushchev made this really crazy speech where he attacked the cult of personality of Stalin.
Yeah.
So what happened was all the leaders from the rest of the world, like in China and North Korea, they don't want this to happen again because you can't have a cult of personality and have your own family run like a dynasty. You cannot have anybody criticizing you. So what Khrushchev did was really shocking. And Mao, when he heard about that, started a cultural revolution because you cannot have anybody even making joke about you. You just cannot allow that because that will create the dissent.
Right.
That's why they always go after us.
Isn't it odd, though, that it just seems that these people with this sort of giant power, these elitists, right?
Yeah.
These elite people and they're so insecure.
100%.
That it always comes down to, like, they can never be poked fun. What's that, Ken?
Oh, I got the Scotland article.
Oh, good. That was perfect. Are you high?
No, not yet. If you're interested.
No, what is it, if you don't
sure.
mind? Yeah.
The police in Scotland hits back at targeting claims, but confirms comics and actors are at risk of arrest.
There you go.
Is that all you needed?
No. We'll pull it up tomorrow and I guess go more into it. But yeah, sure. That is that there are claims that are coming out that and they are at risk of arrest.
Only the United States have the free speech like this. Nowhere else. You know, you can't even make fun of the king of Thailand. That's punishable by jail or even worse.
Yeah, it just seems so massively insecure.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you can go ahead and make fun of people on stage. But once you, as far as a comedian here in the, you know, in the States, but yeah, once you go online or start posting that stuff online, then, you know, then you watch the cancel culture come after you.
Yeah.
For making fun of somebody that, you know, that they like. So you make jokes about Biden online and then all of a sudden his followers.
Yes.
Start jumping on top of you. And then it ends up, they tag people and then it feeds off to it. And then that's, you know, something that's all been discussed a million times over.
Well, and the cancel culture seemed to be a leg of that communist agenda,
yes.
Right?
I mean, yes.
It's Marxism.
Right.
The whole purpose of Marxism is to divide people and have everybody fighting each other.
Yes. And that's really all it is. It's to sort of create a mass confusion, mass hysteria. And yeah. I mean, it's working perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I was in New York City last week. I should have sent you the videos, but yeah, just watching the protests. Insane.
What protests were going on? Was it the Palestine
thing outside of Letterman's studio?
Oh yeah. Okay. Wow.
And yeah, it was, I remember there's a guy with a yarmulke walking
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of Palestine protesters and this cop's like, don't go over there. And the guy's like, I'll be fine. And he's just like, just don't. Go the other way. And I couldn't agree with this cop more. He's just trying to be like, look, like just, you don't want to get hurt.
No one's going to win here.
Yeah, there's no one, nobody wants to be. I'd never seen so many cops, you know what I mean? And it's because presidents were, it's just so many police officers. I'll bring in the footage.
Oh, that was the Biden fundraiser that was going on.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, with Biden, Obama, Clinton.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And they were all at Colbert Studio.
Yeah.
So the outside was nuts because I was walking to my friend Jimmy's and I'm looking around like, well, this is crazy. There's a radio show there and a TV show there. And I'm looking around. I'm like, this is absolutely insane. And it was just police, the most New York City police you've seen like since a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And just the absolute like chaos outside and people who are just on a side to be on a side. You know, and just there for clicks and there, you know, and I just kind of, I started recording stuff too, but I had just never seen anything like it in New
right.
York. I had never seen organization
yeah.
in New York, you know, let alone that level of it by all these different groups. It was very, very frightening of where this is all going to go.
This is also the same time that the wake was going on for that slain New York police officer.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
here we go.
Yeah. That's nuts. Yeah. I remember hearing about that, but I didn't.
Selling ponchos.
You were selling ponchos?
Yeah. I was like, get your ponchos.
You, and, capitalist pig.
The Palestinians were like, we already kind of have them.
I feel so conflicted about this because my people are making those flags in sweatshop all night.
I know, right?
It's Israeli and Palestinian, you know, like, we don't take sides.
I think they make our cups.
Take the money.
No, they don't. These are American. Yeah, no, it's a shame that you guys have to make so many flags, and then even the flag that they make for their own country, they don't really support it.
No.
It's got to be a rough one. Taking those little hands to sew stars onto something that you're never going to experience.
Thanks. My five-year-old nephew's working all night making that damn. Right now. Well, what happened in good old days when people just don't agree and just move on? You know, you can't even do that anymore.
No, it's a protester. Now, apparently, it's a civil war or World War III. I would love to see America in a civil war. I was talking about this on stage last week. Just how fat everybody is. Let's see how long. Like, I like to just see a normal American have to walk a mile in soldiers' clothes before they're like, you know what, just let them have their own bathrooms. Oh, it's so hot.
See how long the war goes and they shut down Whataburger and Arby's.
Right, exactly.
Done. Done.
I think if we do have a civil war, we have to use cannons and old, like you have to use a musket.
With a bayonet.
Yeah, with a bayonet. I was even thinking about that, like with a bayonet. Like people complain a lot now about stuff that went on, you know, back then. But when you think about it, like people were on the good side. Somebody was using a bayonet to stab their own brother to death. Like the sword on a musket.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody who believes in something. I'm not going to stab somebody over anything with a musket. You know what I'm saying, Yoshi?
Sorry, every terrible World War II Japanese Jap shit rolling through my head.
I apologize. I didn't mean to do that.
No. I'm U.S. citizen now. Fuck them.
Yeah, good on
Just saying, if you can't beat them, join them, right?
No, I agree.
That's my family say.
Exactly. I mean, sorry. You know, you guys started it.
Apologies to all our Japanese fans.
Not joking, of course. Yes.
Can you imagine how hard you had to...
Please tell Kim in San Francisco that we're sorry. Yes.
Can you imagine how hard you have to stab somebody with a bayonet, as fat as people are today?
Yeah, there's no way that we're going to... I just don't believe it. Like, how would you even draw the lines? Like, at least you had North and South, and you see how close the White House is to the Richmond White House?
Yeah.
It wasn't that big of a jaunt even back then. So when you really think about a civil war now, I don't know how that's going to look. You're just going to be going on color, and it's going to be very bad.
It's going to not work out.
You don't know everybody's politics.
No, not at all.
You're just going to assume somebody's a migrant, and they could have been born here. It's just going to get very ugly.
Just because they walk out of Family Dollar, you assume they're a migrant?
Yeah, it's just going to be the most ignorant. You're just, what are you going to be doing? Just at a Motel 6 stabbing maids?
Jesus.
Like, it's just... Like, but seriously, it's absurd. Like, I just, the level, and it's from that. It's that communism where everybody's so confused and angry. It's worked perfectly because you have a gambling sex machine in your pocket that makes you enraged all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can use that thing to get your news, which is deliberately being fed to you, every story that you don't want to see that makes you upset at somebody else. And then the rest of your day is just supposed to be anger.
Which is a garbage version of the story anyway. Whatever story is being fed to you is being fed through some machine, some corporate media machine that's distilling it to the narrative that they want you to read.
Right.
So you're not even getting facts.
Oh, yeah, you'll have like teachers dead.
So your hate is based on false information.
Yeah, based on whatever they said, and now they're like, well, we don't have to reveal sources, we don't have to do this, we don't have to have integrity. So they're just allowed to push out whatever narrative they want to the public.
But, you know, I have to say one thing, I do feel sympathy for these kids, because every time I do a show, I ask, like, do you think your kids would do better than you financially? 90% of the time, most Americans, in my opinion, think their kids would do worse. So I could see some of the anger, you know, like if you know for certain, like things are not going to go well for you, I could understand some of the anger. It's misguided. It's very misguided. But I don't know what's the solution.
I don't know if he'll be better off. I know that he can probably hang on to it better financially, you know, but I don't know if it's like, I'm worried about that. Because I want him.
You have kids, right?
I want him to be better at everything and may have a better life and have
absolutely
money and have every like the people that compete with their kids. When you see those documentaries, like Stallone's documentary, where he's talking about his dad who just really kind of hated his success.
Just went out of the way to just fuck with him
all the time.
Stallone's dad did.
Yeah,
he even bought his dad loved polo. They played it as a kid, so he bought like these polo horses and his dad. Like cranked them hard with a polo. I don't know what they're called. I've never played polo. I'm not kidding.
The last time they had a match, he purposely just trying to hurt his son. I mean, that's how competitive.
He deliberately hit him with it.
Yeah.
Those mallets or whatever it is.
Yeah. Severely injured Sylvester Stallone, and he hated hated all of his success because he wasn't as good as his son.
Yeah.
Like that to me is you shouldn't have kids if you're wired like that.
Yeah, he chose polo though. I mean,
it is an odd thing for a Philadelphia Dago.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have seen that coming.
Yeah, but it was, you know.
What was that Robert Duvall basketball movie where he was a real bastard of a father and always fighting his kids? You know the movie I'm talking about?
Oh, man, there's a few of them. I'm trying to think.
Oh my
God. Wasn't Hoosiers, was it?
No, but he was just a bastard, just training his kids really terribly. You know?
Was it, what was the Robert Duvall one? Was it, because
it was a real son of a bitch.
Was Gene Hackman the coach?
Oh, no. It was just an abusive father.
Oh, it was just about the. I know I've seen it. I just don't know what it is. Okay. No, but that is. It's the same where you see that where Cecil Fielder was one that competed a lot with Prince, and then like.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, that's right.
Then he said, "Oh, you should know that I'm your manager, and managers actually get your signing bonus." And he was like, "Oh, okay, Dad," which is a complete lie. You know, it's very strange to me that you would want to raise your child like that.
We want to give them tough love, but sometimes these guys, all they give is just toughness. No love at all, you know?
None.
Like Michael Jackson's dad, same situation.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he would, I mean, he managed to just hurt every kid there.
Yeah.
I mean, it really used them in a way where, looking at it now, when you...
You mean all of his kids?
Well, Joe Jackson, I mean, what's that?
You mean all of his kids?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tito and... Jermaine have it that bad.
Right.
They're but, good.
Yeah, I mean, they're fine.
I mean, it's Tito.
But he also used to make, like, Michael Jackson, I mean, allegedly watch the, you know, his brothers have sex with groupies.
What?
Yeah, like, it was bad. Like, he was a pretty, and obviously he used...
When are we going to talk about such a sexy stories?
I know. It turns out he's a great father. So he...
I'm joking.
No, it's fine. I think it's fine.
It came out of nowhere.
Don't worry. We're the first people that have ever poked fun at Michael Jackson.
Yes. Clearly the first.
That's actually the nicest sex joke that's ever been made about it. But it does explain a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it does explain. It's tragic.
If everything this is true, I do feel sad for him in one respect. If you were deprived of childhood, I could kind of see you're stunted, so you want to be with other kids. It's terrible. So there's some sick logic to it, you know?
Oh, there's an angle. I mean, you can see that when he's hanging out with people that he sees as innocent. Like,
yeah.
As long as there's not anything that goes beyond that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the creepy part, you know? I mean, Corey Feldman claims nothing ever happened, and he still dresses as Michael Jackson every time he's on TV. So it's an odd thing. Macaulay Culkin says the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but there's so many theories on it. I would probably have to say he's guilty, but just because of the Ferris wheel and the teacups.
That's usually your hallmark sign.
But, you know, I think if he's a predator, and this is probably true for a lot of the predators, like Jeffrey Epstein.
Hey. It's alleged.
Alleged.
Go on.
When he was teaching that really...
Wow, you scared me for a second.
No, don't be...
That's the barometer of this show. Epstein comes up and Landau goes, hey, whoa. Oh. Alleged.
Look, the man invested for me very well. Go on.
That school that he was teaching, without any college credential whatsoever, I think he learned very valuable lesson, and this is something true for other producers and photographers, why Michael wouldn't allegedly abuse some kids and another. Epstein learned that you could fuck poor and powerless kids, you can't fuck with rich people's kids. So these producers, they know that you don't fuck with stars, like people with talent.
Of course.
So they know which one's going to make and not. So that's where the confusion, because some people have a wonderful experience with him, others do not. I think the talentless are always screwed.
And I think you're right. And I think when they, if they come from nothing and get to that power, like there's new allegations of the Quiet on the Set documentary.
Yes.
About Dan Schneider. And now the newest allegation is from Matthew Underwood, one of Nickelodeon's Zoe 101 stars who, you know, he has the same allegations towards the voice coach that went after, what's his name? There's so many now. It's hard to keep track of all the people that were...
Hard to keep track of victims.
...raped in Hollywood at Nickelodeon. Drake Bell.
You know, I used to hear Christian people always attacking Hollywood and show business. They're a bunch of, like, child abusers. And I thought that's, like, no way. But, like, God, there's just so many. Maybe they're right, partially, or
no,
more.
Kirk Cameron had his shit together. People were thinking he was wrong. Guy was spot on. Like, oh, even on the set of, it's just too much. I mean, there's too much of this going on. I realize like Brian Peck is his name, but anybody anywhere, you would sort of fall into where you might bump into these people, but it just seems like there's so many in kids' television.
And another thing that's really made me sad about the documentary is that these kids, God, they have to make decisions when they're teenagers, like, they don't want to lose their career. So they were getting violated, but they also want to have a career and also support their family. What kind of position are these? Are kids?
The position to support your family is a realization that I can't grasp having to do at 16 years old. Because it's like your parents are taking care of you at that age. Now you're supposed
to... It should be taking care of you.
Right.
Yeah.
And at any age, I couldn't imagine ever being in a situation thinking that I need to have this job to make my parents' house payment.
Never.
That never crossed my mind.
My parents were never like, you have to get a summer job because we need help. They just wanted me to learn. They wanted me to have responsibility.
Right.
And I was lucky for that. I was lucky to have enough, you know?
And I think these predators know your circumstance because they try to know more about your family situation if you live in a very healthy household or not. And once they have those information, they know how to divide your family. Like that kid, you know, he was separated away from his dad, who obviously loved him and wanted to take care of him, you know.
When his dad was the one who was like, this isn't right, we shouldn't do this. And that was the first...
Was warning them,
It was, they separated him, and that was Drake Bell that happened to. Yeah, where Drake's dad was very much vocal about it, and they called him homophobic.
And I never thought, for someone who worked in the porn business, for me to say this, like, they're trying to normalize this stuff in school. This is just not right, you know, because I can't even believe I'm saying this, out of all the people.
You're trying to normalize what?
Just all the sex talks and, like, you know, like the I think proper sex education is necessary, but they're promoting a certain lifestyle, you know, like these kids, a lot of them are not just regular. They're not gay, but they're trying to convince them to become gay kids or transgender, you know.
There's a curriculum. Yeah. It's odd how many things you see, and it's disturbing that I don't want to look at. Like, I went to, you know, Squirter High School, but that was just because Robert F. Squirter was the one who founded the school.
Who founded the school.
Yeah.
So, R.I.P.
Oh, yes. R.I.P. Ken, where did you attend?
Cum Dumpster High.
Yes, that's right.
Harvey Cum Dumpster.
That's right. I remember that. And you went to...
forget it.
What? I believe you had a school?
I just went to Romeo High School.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh. Romeo...
Just Romeo. Named after the city. Nothing fancy.
Wow, you didn't run with me at all.
I didn't run. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It wasn't Romeo and Juliet and all over her tits. Anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. This show is brought to you by Trump Bible. Joking. Don't calm down.
Sorry. Can't wait to read the comments in the live feed.
Oh boy. Anyway. Yeah, no, it's odd. I've never been in porn that I know of. And you know, who knows?
Hang on. I got some videos.
But yeah, there's definitely, yeah, it's just sad. Let's move on to good movies.
Yes.
Let's talk about, I do want to talk about a couple of actors that passed away. Today, great actor. I really enjoyed him. Second City alumni, Joe Flaherty. And I knew him from SCTV when I was a kid. And he was on this brilliantly underrated show called Freaks and Geeks, which kind of launched the careers of Seth Rogen and
James Franco.
Just such a brilliant show. And just didn't last, even though it was phenomenal. And he's also known from his work in Happy Gilmore as probably one of the funniest parts. Let's take a little clip of his work.
Hey, Gilmore, you suck, you jackass.
Why don't you shut the hell up?
Jackass. Whoa, the club went further than the ball.
This whole thing in that where he like hits him with the the bug, the beetle.
Yes.
Freak was such a wonderful show. It really was.
He was the great dad on it. He played such a great dad.
And it was one of the first television shows to talk about transgender issue. Seth Rogen was dating one in the show.
Really?
Yeah. I was shocked when I saw it. Like, it was so ahead of their time, you know?
Yeah, that's a weird way to call it.
When was that show out?
90s.
99, okay. Something like that. Vancouver, yeah. Canada.
It was really good. I mean, and Joe Flaherty, because he was on SCTV and came up, a lot of people think he's Canadian, but he's actually from Philadelphia.
So. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think he's from Pittsburgh.
Oh, I always thought he was Canadian. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, most people do because he was just known for part of that SCTV whole group with like him and John Candy and Rick Moranis and that
whole
dude who's another amazing talent. SCTV was such good, ridiculous television, especially when you're young. Like, I was watching a thing with Joe Flaherty today and John Candy where it's just like a movie monster show, and Joe Flaherty's just he's dressed as Dracula, but he just keeps howling like a wolf, and then he just keeps cutting to the House of Pancakes horror show, and it's just John Candy like, "Do you want some syrup?" And it's just the stupidest thing. But I love it because it's just pointless.
That stuff was great. Fun.
Rest in peace, man.
Yeah, amen. And then also we lost a great actor who I'm sure you all know. One of my favorite movies actually that he did, it's a little less known, was with James Woods called Digstown. And it was Louis Gossett Jr. passed away.
What an icon.
Dude, he was in every movie I would watch as a kid all the time.
But Officer and Gentleman, man, he was tremendous in that one.
I think that's what he won the Oscar for, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
That fighting scene with Richard Gere. Oh, my God.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that is. What did you say, Ken? I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, my bad. You're saying no, but he was in Enemy Mine.
Yes.
Which was, he was fantastic in. And then I would watch Iron Eagle all the time because it was.
That's right.
I forgot what channel it was always airing on, but I would watch it on that, too.
Probably TBS.
It might have been. It was one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was, he was just in, and yeah, Enemy Mine was so cool, like the alien face, weird. Yeah. RIP to Louis Gossett.
And he was in Roots.
He was in Roots.
By the way, not a comedy.
Jesus.
Just pointing out the obvious.
Oh, is that the one about the A&W company?
Oh, my God. Yes. It was the precursor. It was Roots Beer.
It was a prequel to Barks Has Bite.
Boy, you're gonna have some complainers.
Yeah,
Oh, that one. I'm not even touching that one.
Look, I just thought that that's what that was about. I guess I'll have to go back and rewatch it. What if you did? And you were like, my God, A&W is a terrible company. You still don't disassociate?
They're just drinking root beer.
Going back to Officer...
At the plantation.
Oh, my God.
I'll be damned.
Oh, man.
You couldn't even enjoy a frosty beverage in those times.
Yeah. My, yeah. Your name.
Oh, hang on. Not going to go along with me on this one? Suck it.
He's like, yeah, my name is Toby. And you just see a guy take a frosty swig.
A&W Roots.
Oh, it ends with two people at a roller skate drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so
the director's cut.
Oh, you're saying to go back to what? I'm sorry, we were distracted by a movie I was confused about. Genuinely,
it just I don't know if he served in military, but boy, he looked like iconic officer. You know, just a hard-ass sergeant, just want to kick your ass every day.
He's one of those guys. He was also in The Principal with Jim Belushi, where Jim Belushi's like,
oh,
the
that's
badass.
Right.
Yeah, and so is Louis Gossett, I mean, obviously. But it was more of the, you know, it was that serious role for Jim Belushi where yeah. he's, you know, deliberately not funny. And he's, you know, holding like, I think he's holding like a bat or something, and it's just like class is over, you know, some crap. But it's actually a really fun movie. It's one I really like. It's a little cheesy, but it's a fun like action film. And he's a guy who looked the same for so long,
ageless.
Yeah, like he always had that tough guy image. Like he looked like a 45-year-old ripped action kind of star.
Yeah,
for his entire career. From 20 to 83.
Almost like a Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, he looks a lot. Yeah, he's somebody.
I mean, just somebody who doesn't age, who just keeps himself in great shape.
Yeah, and that's what he was.
He's like Wesley Snipes that pays income tax.
Right. You know?
Yes, a tax-paying Wesley Snipes.
You know, Richard Gere was so good, Officer and Gentleman, but I don't think he could have got that performance without that antagonist. You know, the sergeant would just want to kick his ass all the time. It was so great to see both of those just went at it. The good old fist fighting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Richard Gere he's always good when he's opposite somebody like that. When you look at Primal Fear with Ed Norton. When you look at, God, there's a movie that he made. I'm trying to think of the French director in the 1980s. It's a remake, but it's a really good film.
Luc Besson.
Yeah, you know, no, not that. Look up... French director Richard Gere, but it's another example. But yeah, in that movie, the reaction basically is created by just how real you can see Louis Gossett being in the role.
It's just when he starts screaming, saying he doesn't have any place to go. God, it's a heartbreaker.
You can tell that it's like he's doing it so well, though, that it's playing with his head. Like when you're so into that moment as an actor, and that's just something I see when actors do, when you see great actors. That I really think that it is an amazing craft. Like, not for everybody, but when you see that, you're like, that dude just...
Oh, Jean-Luc Godard?
Yeah, Jean-Luc Godard. What's the name? Is it Breathless? Mm-hmm.
Version of it.
Breathless. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. It was the remake of Breathless, but he's still great in it, yeah.
Who was the sergeant from Full Metal Jacket?
Oh, God, Arlie Ermey? Yeah.
Those two are the most iconic drill sergeants ever.
Dude, and he looked the same for a long time, too.
He was a real drill sergeant who just got the role.
Oh, that's right.
He was supposed to.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, the whole scene with Pyle, it just, man, and just blowing his head off right after. And you're like, damn, this is. and also that's another great actor. And of course, I'm blanking on his name for no reason.
I think many young American kids need men like that just screaming, yelling at them because they're just weak these days.
Have you seen the drill sergeants when they used to have them on Maury? It seemed effective.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a little weird, but it was also like the... Do you remember the Scared Straights? I had to sit through one.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
Those were the best. Like, you bring them to jail.
And the prisoners...
You want to explain to the viewer? Because I think some young people don't know what that was. That was an amazing documentary from the 80s.
Yeah, if you want to watch something that's amazing, Scared Straight was when they brought kids into a prison that were juvenile delinquents, and then these kids would have to go through prison... and being taught by the prisoners exactly what everyday life was. And they brought it back in the 90s. That's why I knew about it.
Yeah.
They rehatched it. But I just remember a kid sitting there and the guy's like, give me your shoes. Give me your damn shoes. It's like this kid's
And before they went into prison, they were so cocky. But once they go into prison, it's no joke. These guys are hardcore criminals, you know.
Oh, dude, they are not like, it was terrifying.
Yeah. They did a great job with that. They really did.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, the way that was put together and was, I would think it would be effective.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I know if I was a complete shitbag as a teenager and I go into some supermax facility, I'm getting yelled at by some guy who wiped out a family for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
You might go on the straight and narrow.
Maybe I might get my act together.
Yeah. Straight and narrow. I just, yeah, that's, ugh. I loved it. I did see a real one, though.
You did?
Yeah, I've told you that story. Where I had to go through the jail, and they were like, I want the one with the earring. And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I was like, that happened to me.
Oh, my God. You never told me that story. That's just.
Oh, I have. How many times? All right, viewers.
How far did you let them take it?
Well, I realized once the cameras were off that it was no longer a show. And then I realized that the...
That there were no cameras.
They were just shoeboxes.
Yeah.
And the film was... Right. It's going to go into way too dark of territory right now. But yeah, it's I was a juvenile delinquent, so they did that when I was a kid.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did have people come in, and they brought us to the jail, and everybody was yelling at us.
So it was you and a bunch of other kids that went into this facility.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, you can't do that stuff anymore because you might get sued or this is insensitive, you know, the trauma,
someone
this and that.
Might get their feelings hurt.
Yes.
It was terrifying. I mean, and a lot of them were like, we ain't all gay. We ain't going to bang you in the shower. Like that stuff.
Yeah.
One was like, and then the one they were messing with us, and I don't know if it was a quote from a movie or wherever they got this, but it was when you knew that they were just messing with us because the one guy goes... Just turn it down if you have kids around, but he goes, how many times you been fucked up your ass, Mr. James?
Oh,
he goes,
God.
About 50. And he goes, and this brother's for real.
Oh,
but he didn't use the word brother.
Yeah.
And I was crying laughing. And it ended up being a thing where, like, we talked about at our school because it was so, like, when I told the story, like, it was just hilarious. So, like, they were deliberately messing with us, like, almost too hard.
Yeah.
But, it was jail and not prison. So they were bringing you through like a relatively safe area. I mean, it was not like overnight jail, obviously.
Sure.
It was, you know, 90 day, whatever. You weren't in a maximum security prison or anything. Like if I would have gone to a maximum security prison and had a guy, you know, with MS-13 tattoos on his face.
Oh, yeah.
As far from me, I probably would have, I don't know, crashed less cars.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you basically took you to county lockup, essentially.
Essentially, yeah.
Right.
But they tried to do it in that way, and it was, we were all in rehab, and that's why we, you know, it was part of a...
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was, because I was a criminal.
Yeah.
How old were you? I mean, when this is...
17, 16?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 17. I'd have been 17, I think. Yeah.
So it was after arrest number...
7, 8.
Okay.
I'm shocked. You don't strike me that kind of person.
I'm not anymore.
No, but I just couldn't imagine. I'm kind of, I thought you were joking for a minute.
No, I was not the best young man. I've talked about it a bit on stage, but my dad had Agent Orange from Vietnam.
Right.
And I mean, yeah, I know. I blame people that look like you.
Yeah.
But I... I'm glad we played that. See how we can... See how he made the joke and I...
Yeah.
See,
once again, I want to apologize to Kim in San Francisco.
See how no one here is offended? Lady, that's how you do it.
Apologies to all the Japanese fans.
But let's be honest. This face is, you know, COVID or Agent Orange.
Oh, that's true. People blame a lot. Yeah.
Pearl Harbor. You know, I get it.
Like, I get it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're mad at me for today.
Let's spin the wheel of anger.
Yeah, I think there's too many types of Asian for me to know. That's why I keep my mouth shut. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to just assume somebody's whatever. Like, I don't know. The same as white people. It's like, I don't know what anybody is anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what, same as anybody. You know, I'm like, I don't know, you could be a mix of nine different.
I'll be honest, even for me, sometimes I can't tell who's who, even Thailand, because I thought they're all Thai, and I was, no, that's not the case. There's some Nepal, people from Nepal, and you know.
Yeah, Henry Cho has a great joke about that.
Very funny comedian.
Yeah, and where he goes to Korea for the first time.
Yeah.
And he said he gets off the plane with his dad, and he just loses his dad immediately.
Oh my God.
Because he's like, he goes, I grew up in Knoxville. He's the only other Korean person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
He goes, now he's like, and he's like, Dad, they're talking to me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just honesty.
Yeah.
You just don't know, you know? So yeah, I had issues because my dad passed when I was a teenager, and leading up to that, I just did a lot of, you know, it's a coping mechanism. You want to take 100%, yourself out of the reality that you're feeling. And I've learned recently, like even involving like suicidal thoughts or whatever, like it's about not wanting to feel how you feel right now.
Yeah.
It's not about like however, you know, how long you want to feel that way. So it's like it was just all about escapism because I just didn't want to feel the pain of the moments of things that were happening to me.
Oh, I don't blame you. I think every boy needs their father growing up. You know, that's a tough one to get over, you know.
At a young age, it was like a hero who, you know, he was everybody's coach. Everybody loved him.
Yeah.
And it was like just taken out like from about 13 when he started getting headaches.
You know, this might be a little weird thing to say, but recently, what was that, those four or five juvenile kids stuck in a weekend? It's like a comedy, Breakfast Club.
Yes.
It just had like 40th anniversary, right?
Yeah.
You know what's strange? If you talk to millennial and young kids, do you know who they most sympathize with in that movie?
Is it Emilio?
What do you think?
I was going to say Emilio.
I'm going to guess Judd. I would guess Judd Nelson.
This is so shocking to me. They sympathize most with that teacher who was asshole to everyone.
Are you serious?
I'm 100%. I don't know what the kids are thinking. Like, I would pick one of those kids. They just feel like, hey, you know, he's just doing his job. You shouldn't be rude to them. I don't know how to relate to these young kids. Like, I would have never picked that guy.
But he was.
I think that guy's a fucking prick.
Even John Hughes, who wrote it, the whole thing was he was an authoritarian dick who it took pleasure in the fact that he was making them go to school on a Saturday. Like, he was meant to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's not a bad. And, you know, when I went to Asia recently, they see American popular stuff different, too. You know who they hate the most in China from Breaking Bad? Which character?
I'm Lavelle Crawford.
They hated Walter White's wife because what kind of bitch are you? You have a house, he works, he brings all kinds of money like this. You're the worst wife.
Well, you tell them they're right. I thought the same thing the whole time. Like, I'm like, what are you bitching about?
They can't believe a teacher's salary could have a home with the two cars and swimming pool. He's doing everything he can to provide you, and they hate that lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's different. And when I was a kid watching Empire Strike Back, they thought Luke Skywalker was a terrible son.
Really?
They have a wonderful father when they give you a job, taking over the whole empire. It's a different way of looking at...
this is okay. In Japan?
Asia, oh, like,
Asia
he's a terrible son. That's how we saw it, you know, right. Like...
Really?
He's offering the whole world. What an ungrateful son of a bitch.
Well, the cutting know? The hand off is some tiger mom.
Oh, my God. You did two things right there. Wow. I'm impressed. You should work in Asia.
Thank you. I'm a fan of the Asians.
And they're a fan of you.
What?
They're fans of you.
I think everybody should get along.
I agree.
That's crazy. That is crazy, though, to see it that through that lens. I definitely would have never thought the Luke Skywalker lens.
A terrible son. Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought the Breakfast Club sympathy for the teacher thing.
Yeah, I read that multiple times.
That strikes me more than anything.
The young kids just see things differently. So, like, I want to know why did they think that way? And then, like, why did I think that way, you know?
Yeah, even now though as an adult, you would think talking to that principal, you'd be like, you know, they're teenagers. Like, you don't have to take it that seriously.
Yeah.
I think that was the whole idea, was the guy was just way too into his job. Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess you want to be to some degree as a principal as opposed to what they let you get away with now. But now it's more like you got to go talk to the teachers and be like, hey, could you stop fucking the students?
Well, considering now that schools today are like the prison rec yard and mayor of Kingstown. Yes. That's literally what schools are like.
Yeah, that's
today.
True. That's when you need a Jim Belushi.
Zero Law and Order.
Yeah. And a Lewis Goss.
John Hughes was just a comedic genius. I love everything he did. And your outfit makes me happy because in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, one of the main characters, even though the story takes place in Chicago, right, he was a Detroit Red Wing fan, you know.
I love that he's got the Gordie Howe jersey on.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Even better that he's wearing a Red Wings jersey in a Chicago
Yes.
movie.
Well, you can go to where like Uncle Buck is filmed, Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. McClary went by there last time in Chicago, and you can go to all these places because during Christmas, just the Home Alone house in the Chicago area has visitors. But
I've been.
Yeah.
Oh, I also went to Risky Business Home too.
Did you really?
20 miles away or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's such a great movie too.
And I also went to John Wayne Gacy's home as well in Chicago.
Didn't they? Is it just what's left of it?
I think it's left of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Your tourism checklist is a little bit jacked.
Dude, he's seen everything, man.
I know. We were talking beforehand. But
yeah, he's seen, and I know we got to get out of here in a minute, but yeah, that is an incredible place to go to. Was there still an aroma from the porch?
Oh.
Smelled like clowns.
You know what's really weird? My mother and I, we illegally immigrated to USA March 13th, 1980.
Let's keep that on the DL. All
right.
The day I landed.
You were ahead of your time.
The day we landed.
Illegal now, Ken. Calm down.
The day we landed is the day John Wayne Gacy was found guilty. Honest,
seriously?
God, yeah, seriously, yeah.
Oh my! Well, see, they can make room for more people.
A day.
The system cleanses itself.
Yeah, you know, they got rid of him, and they found, you know, there's a lot of room. With number of bodies they pulled out. All right, let's take us to the end of the world.
That was hilarious.
All right. Oh, yeah, I got to find my question. I forgot I wrote it. We're going to get there. Ah, yes. This is obviously very serious. With the cleanup of the Baltimore Bridge collapse set to begin, who or what will be found as workers start wading through these murky Baltimore waters, Derek?
I'm going to go with whoever Ray Lewis killed.
I like that. Ken, do you have a...
Oh, I didn't know I had one. Hi, Ben. Omar from The Wire.
Thank you for ruining the bit.
I think it made it... No,
it made it better. You're right. We'll talk later.
No, all right.
Do you have an opinion, Yoshi?
Oh, the Malaysian Airlines that missing years ago. Once again, I had to say the Asian.
Yes. I'm going to go with 40 Joe Biden body doubles.
Oh!
Right.
I thought you were going to say Obama's cook.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
That would have been good, too. Oh, definitely in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? The number of handguns that are probably in the Baltimore River, if you took them all out, I bet you that boat wouldn't even have hit. Is that too far? All right. Thank you for tuning in. Yoshi, where can we find you next?
Oh, I will be at the Arlington Improv April 19th and 20th with Russell Peters. And at the end of the month, I'll be in Boca Raton. My friend Alejandra's doing skincare. And I'm helping her with the facial. Go to my Instagram and you could get discount information there.
Awesome. And what's your Instagram?
At Yoshi Obayashi. And the name of the place, Collaborative Skincare in Boca Raton. I'll be there at the end of the month.
All right. And that's where you follow him right there on the screen. Derek.
I will be with the amazing Dave Landau April 5th. Losing it. Friday, April 5th, Fruenthal Center, Muskegon, Michigan. And then Saturday, April 6th. At the Village Theater in Canton, and then April 13th, Saturday, at the Orpheum Theater in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Yeah, wow. Idaho.
Idaho.
What? Come out to the show.
Yes. It's
coming to you. I keep getting messages of like, you're almost to where we're at. Like, we're meeting you more than halfway, guys.
Yeah.
We're going where we can go.
Yeah. So show up.
Yeah. I don't know how hard that is.
Hmm?
Daddy got to feed baby.
That night. Tiger Mom reference. That was the best bit. That was hilarious.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.